at 74 years young, I've got this high quality of life. I want a high quantity of life. Why would you want to die? It's like the kid who came up to my teacher, Cabot Robert, 89, said, gosh, why would anyone want to live to 89? He said, boy, you're not 88.
As our parents grow older, it can be difficult to guide them through their golden years while still respecting their autonomy and fitting it into our already complex lives. Welcome to the Parent Projects Podcast, where our guests share practical wisdom to tackle the issues that impact adult children of aging parents. I'm Tony Sievers. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey guys, and welcome to today's show where we're going to be live with our friend, Mark Victor Hansen, known for what, throwing down a 500,000 copies of Chicken Soup for the Soul. But really lately, he and his wife, Crystal, have thrown down Ask, which is going to change everything for those of you that might be stuck in your parent project and working through those. They've got a publishing company effort that's working to help anybody else who's got that story on their heart, bring it down to pen and paper so we can pass it on one generation to the next. And we got a lot more. This week, we're talking about communication at parent projects and its impact on your parent projects. So stay tuned with Mark Victor Hansen. Do you know what your destiny is? Have you figured that out? Do you know what your calling, where you're supposed to be, your purpose in life? Whether you're in a stage of asking yourself, you're asking others, you've sat down, you're asking God. Mark Victor Hansen and his wife, Crystal, have spent a significant amount of time breaking down how to move you from point A to point B. And one of the questions we get here at Parent Projects is people that get stuck in the same conversation and they're having a hard time figuring out how that plays in with their destiny or where things come about. So I got Mark Victor Hansen on. We're going to get it straight from him, a man whose calling clearly is to turn the written word into something actionable that you can put into your life, calming your heart, moving you from guilt and fear into love and laughter. Mark Victor, thank you so much for joining me, brother.
My pleasure, Tony, and it's been a delight to chat with you over the times.
It's humbling. I think I told you earlier, there's in our conversations, there's like five or six things that'll hit a whiteboard out of the backside of it every time. And I made the joke of which will probably destroy your humility. I would venture to say more people have something that's come out of one of your books or one of your talks on a whiteboard around their life than anybody else that I've certainly ever met in my life. So I just good on you for how you follow that calling. And I really appreciate you breaking down just what Parent Project has been for you, that it's real, it happens, and how you get through it or some of these mechanisms you use to keep people moving. Thanks for sharing that with us.
Well, you know, I sold 500,000 books in the Chicken Soup series. And what? Let's just do one of the early parent projects because you've got kids in this age group. Teenage Soul. We did Chicken Soup of the Teenage Soul. And our publisher, all-knowing, says, I'm a parent of teenagers. And they got CDs, concert tickets, and clothes. I got them $50. And that mall eats it. They're not going to read your dang book. So we sold 19 million the first year. And what Jack and I, Dr. Canfield and I did is we said, hey, look, our book's different. This is a story that has been tested. We tested it on 12,000 kids at Nickelodeon. I even got to take my kids to Nickelodeon. We got slimed, if that means anything to you. But the fact of the matter is we say, don't you read it to them or just give it to them. Have them read one story at a time to you. And what it does, it opens up your heart energy, which is what Parent Project is all about. And we get to relive and live with each other. And that's the same thing we've done with, you know, 254 books in the Chicken Soup series, like Chicken Soup of the Grieving Soul, because the funeral homes give out 250. That's the average amount of people that come to a funeral. And we say, hey, read it with your kids, your grandkids, your aunts, your uncles, you know, while you're having that dinner. Go through it, pick one or two stories, and open up your heart again, because what happens is, oh, I've lost my husband and I'll never... You can't lose anyone. Spirit lives forever. I hope you believe that. The body is your form, but it isn't who you are. It's your, you know, the Bible says, before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you.
That's right. And you know, you touch on in that, one of the first challenges is that assumption that they're not going to make time to do that. This isn't going to be something, a book like this isn't something that a teenager is going to pick up or to work through. In Ask, one of the major things you highlight is that curiosity has it's like a key to that door of change, and to move through that. And children have a lot of curiosity, so our assumptions can often be wrong. What do you think is key to scratching curiosity in another family and somebody else, whether it's one of your kids, it's a sibling, it's a family member. If they kind of sit off of that, how do you scratch that curiosity, or how do you open yourself to seeing that happen?
Right. What Jesus said is be more childlike. And what does it mean? It means open up your curiosity, because every little kid wants to know who, what, where, when, why, how. And like right now, we've got 6 grandkids that we love and adore and 5 kids. But the fact of the matter is our little grandkids are just absorbent sponges, because they're learning at an exponential level. And so what happens is they ask every question. And like right now, our 7-year-old little granddaughter twin, one of our grand twins, Maddie, comes up and she says, "Give me the hardest word you can, Grampy, to spell." And so I thought, well, Mississippi would be hard. Well, she whisked through it. Why? Because we've always been open to letting all that happen. And as a grandfather, she knows that whether she spells it right or wrong, I'm going to love her no matter what. But she's infinitely curious. We've taken her everywhere. They have at least one sleepover a month here at our house with us, and they can ask anything they want. We can do all the stuff they want, and they have infinite mind power. What happens is the school system and parents say, "You ask too many questions. Would you just quit? I don't know why," you know, or whatever. Yeah. Find somebody that does know why, or find somewhere to find the answer for them, and let them to keep growing exponentially, because we're in the first no limit time in human history for potential godlike awareness, where you go vertical. And also, let me just add one more thing. My wife and I start every day with an hour of prayer and meditation, where we call it going vertical. And what happens is that everybody needs to do that, it seems to me, and then really communicate afterwards. But we do it with the grandkids, and you can't believe the revelations they have. Everyone has got infinite intelligence, because we're made in the image of the likeness of the Creator, the Maker.
Yeah. Well, and you and I were talking earlier that so on. My experience with my own children in that, we were talking through the book of Exodus and the story with Moses and following what he believed his destiny was versus being able to listen and check that against what God's destiny for him was and how he plays into those things. And not just, my kids were thirsty off of that. They were thirsty because they're trying to figure stuff out, trying to understand where things connect. It also got me thinking a lot of how, even as we get older, you've got to reconnect. You got to understand where people are coming from. We're going to take a break here in a second, and we're going to have our first sponsor here with the Refuge Coffee Company. But when we come back, you have come up with something that you use in Ask, and a way to a common experience that family members can share, and some questions they can work through together that will help them find what the curiosity of the other person is, or maybe get over and change a dynamic. And I'd like to cover that when we come back.
Hey guys, this is Tony at the Parent Projects Podcast. And if you are powered by coffee the way that I'm powered by coffee, I think you'll appreciate knowing a way that you can help the last, lost, and least of us that didn't have a great transition. You see, the Refuge Coffee Company is a social enterprise operated by Catholic Charities of Central and Northern Arizona, where they use this coffee and this business model to help homeless veterans at the Manor House Transitional Community get back on their feet. Help a veteran turn a handout into a hand up by giving them the opportunity to earn your business. Purchase coffee today at therefugeaz.com. That's therefugeaz.com. If you order 6 or more bags, shipping will be free. And if you tell them that Parent Project sent you, I'm going to send you a travel coffee mug. Thank you again, and let's get back to the show.
So we're going to talk about, you know, what we discovered in our book, Ask, is that, you know, there are 3 channels to asking. Ask yourself, ask others, ask God. And all of them work. All of them work better together. And most people have never done one of them, much less 3 of them. And what we're doing with these tons of letters and emails and voicemails is that we're getting is we're saying, oh my God, they're opening up their mind power, right? Because if you're made in the image and likeness of the infinite, and the infinite's infinite, then you've got infinite potential ability. We're born over endowed, yet What the system does is we're going into recession, we're going into depression. You're supposed to shut down, slow down, get old. No, there's nowhere. The Bible, Genesis 6:3 says you're supposed to live 120. And I told you earlier, my goal is to live 127 with options for renewal. If I keep having at 74 years young, I've got this high quality of life. I want a high quantity of life. Why would you want to die? It's like a kid who came up to my teacher, Cabot Robert, 89, said, gosh, why would anyone want to live to 89? He said, boy, you're not 88.
Well, you know, I know you also have five kiddos, and as you work through those issues, I remember listening to the story of an older client I'd had doing a senior move and working through their project and helping the parents with their project there. They're explaining to me just how little their kids knew them. Their kids, by the way, who we communicated with, they thought they really had it all figured out. They thought they knew exactly what their parents were up to. And this dad responded, and he was close to 90 years old. He said, you know, honestly, they knew the best version of myself when their first 18 years of life. I showed them what I wanted them to see so that they'd stand on my shoulders and they'd live a better life than I live and made better decisions than me. They've been gone for 40 years, and I've been doing me. In his words, he's been doing his own version of his life, and he's gotten married, and he and his wife developed patterns and things they do. And their kids weren't attached to all of that. And taking time, when everybody slowed down to take time to, without pressure of what has to be done, but genuinely just to understand and check into the other person, it reminded me just how social of beings we are, and how those opportunities to give that time and check into somebody else would be that important. I'm going to slow this down for a second here. And let's give an option. There's a couple of people that get left behind, and those that get left behind here in the Phoenix area, we love lifting them up and getting some work to understand their stories too. Mark Victor, you've got a quick read book that can help people as they gather these stories get their stories down. Is that right?
We did a series called Speed Write Your Life Story, your autobiography, because wouldn't it be nice if you start for generations future your life story? And wouldn't you like to know grandma and great grandma and great great grandma way back? But when you do this, it also says invites you to have your kids and your grandkids and your sibs and your cousins and nephews and nieces also to write their story. And what it does, I've just had my biography done by Mitzi Purdue, and she interviewed 147 people, all my relatives and everything. It's sort of a mind blower to know what you got done in your own lifetime, because I've been exceedingly successful after going bankrupt in 1974. So I don't want anyone to think I haven't had my own vicissitudes. The pulsation of life is a necessary thing for each and every one of us.
Yeah. Okay. So that seems like something, there must be 10 to 20 titles I've seen or books where people can open up and write a page at a time or work something through at a time, which the usability I look on the backside becomes difficult. But clearly understanding our history is just written someplace in our DNA, someplace in our heart to understand where we come from. I don't get the plugs off of them, but the DNA searching organizations out there that will come back. I got to think what we're going to be able with technology to do and integrate those types of things once we get privacy under our belt. Those types of concerns could be incredible. But so this is a book that that could help you start documenting that family history again, that that could be needed for what, grandkids, great grandkids, or just maybe even working the current project in front of you, huh?
Well, what you said at the beginning was, you know, the Bible is a book, but then there's words in it. Number two, number three is there's read the story superficially. And then number four, there's the abstraction where you get to use the book to make it meaningful to you. And what you said about Genesis, I wanted to comment and just say, it is a universal story to know Moses, but the going to the back part of the book, it says there's a book of life. Well, you and I are supposed to transcribe that book of life. And in Habakkuk, it says, write a thing, make it clear. It'll be established on you. And you're supposed to, right, where are you today? So we got a diary. Where were you? Your history, your biography. And then you've got to write your future. What are you going to do in the next 25 years, which is what we're writing in our book, Ask? Because we said, look,
yeah.
And you asked me to do this, so let me just repeat that and say, Everyone needs to get two of these and go over it with your parents, 178 questions, and write out the answers, talk out the answers, dictate out the answers, transcribe them in your smart device, whatever you do, because all that stuff needs to be recorded and held. And yes, privacy is critical, but it's also critical that you capture the story, because wouldn't you like to know all the stories of what, because you were a military guy, and I thank you and salute you for doing that. But wouldn't you like to know everybody in the family that was in the military backwards through your DNA and RNA? And I guarantee you there were probably a lot.
Yeah, you know, the DNA can let you know the line in which you come, the context of what that DNA meant when it was on the earth five generations ago, to four, to three, to my generation. That's going to have to survive in written word, as far as I know. We use you know, vodcasts like this and podcasts, but the truth be told, the majority of this, even a CD-ROM, it goes away. It not melts, but the data comes off of it. It doesn't last forever. And those books I see pass from one to the next. That seems to be a great way to also genuinely check in. And to not just be a talking point or walking through something, or to be there just to have to solve a problem, but to spend that time understanding before Parent Project goes into place what their why is, what's driving them, what is it that they're living for instead of waiting to die. And I think that this is a phenomenal opportunity and a great, just practical guidance and path that they could take for that.
Well, this morning, Crystal and I are reading all the stuff about where Jesus, you know, so for, he's ready to go on the cross and says, forgive them for they don't know what they do. The point is, I never understood that totally, that you got to forgive everybody if you want to be healthy, if you want to be whole. And so we went into deep prayer and meditation. What happened is I could literally see my auric energy grow as I forgave some people that, as far as I'm concerned, forgive me. I know I'm judge and be not judged and all that, but I was not forgiving to some people that I thought were schmoey to me. How's that? That's a nice, clean way to say it. But boy, they were really bad. And it went through, you know, as we thought about it, well, Jesus got betrayed. He got beat up. He got, you know, crucified. He got hung on a cross in a very painful way. I've seen the Shroud of Turin live. You know, he was 6'4". He was 170 pounds. He literally, his auric energy burnt into the auric thing, because Jews wrap from the bottom of their feet up over the top of their head and then back down right. Their feet. Not the way Arabs do. Arabs go this way. And I, you know, I saw it with Mary Kay Cosmetics, got us a private visitation when it was touring America. And I went, oh my gosh, that guy's tall and he's really skinny. I'm 6'4", so I weighed 240, but he weighed 170. So he was a skinny guy.
Well, that puts into, well, even to that, like physical form. So you taking something that is an idea and having that opportunity or word or a thought process, having that opportunity to make it something we touch, feel, hold, to make it real, getting through a story in a book, and what your calling happens to be, I think is a great way to do just the same. It takes an idea, a conversation, a story past, which is how, you know, we started for years, and turns it into something that can be held. That other tactile portion, I think, is a big piece of that.
And by the way, the point is, each of our story is everybody else's story. We're all the story of every man, because they're, at some level, what did Jesus say? The Father and I are one. So if you are one, you got to figure out how to take care of yourself. You got to, first of all, do good self-parenting, self-leadership. Then you got to do parenting. Then you got to do kid parenting, grandparenting, you know, all that stuff. So it is a full cycle. And most of us are saying, nope, I'm just going to take care of myself and be selfish. No, no. The selfless is the goal. Take care of yourself so you can be selfless and take care of the whole system. And each of us has potentially the ability to do that if we haven't been squished out of curiosity, like what you asked about before. If the school system says, I'm going to be the teacher and you're the little student, Tony, quit asking so dang many questions. Just learn what I'm teaching you and you'll get through this class. No, that's not right. It just isn't the way it goes.
Right. Right. What it encourages is for me just to hear what you came through and regurgitate that without actually even coming to heart. And, you know, we've had the discussion on just the difficulty of government in general trying to spread itself to handle the masses, or you know, I understand in education from that you've got a lot of people to run through that system, and so they try to get to the point to work from that. I remember years learning about thinking things differently, which the military had taught me. It really flipped it's on its head. I think it's a reason emergency management that worked so well for me and my calling and helping people and fine tuning that, which was not looking at convergent, but understanding divergent thought process. And, you know, that might remind another thing. We're all built different. We all think we all approach problems differently. So to try to jump into the middle of the problem and expect to get through the answer in one direct call without having the opportunity to stand back and reflect, that like that, to understand how this person approaches a problem and how this person approaches a problem. And that might be different than the way that I approach a problem, which means the same piece of information can look like truth to one person and fake news to another person. It could look like, it can put things into conflict when really what it is, it may or may not be, it may be false, but it may just be the context with which people get to see that in the life that they've had before them and what's behind them. That's probably way over pontificating. I'm above my pay grade, especially talking to you. But you just pull it out of me, brother. Look at you go.
The least I could do. What you're saying is about perception, which only human beings have perception. And if you change your perception, you change your life. And we have a story about two fourth graders that are fighting. And the teacher says, Johnny, you go over there. Sammy, you go over there. And she pulls a ball out and puts on the table and says, what color is it? She says, black. What color? White. Black, white, black, white. I said, are you stupid? You can't see what color? And she hasn't changed sides. And it's half black and half white. So it does change what you said is, where's your perception? And the second part to that, from a spiritual point of view, from a parenting project, is if you're willing to go into the secret place of the Most High and ask yourself, God, what is the omni-considered, all-considered solution here, so I really can be a good parent and a parent leader at a level that I haven't been, maybe, right? Because what happened is you do what your parents did, and that may not have been the most wise thing to do. I'm not saying your parents weren't good, but by and large, most people are parents by accident. They get somebody pregnant, they suddenly have a kid, and then they got a bunch of kids, and they didn't ever think through, well, what would it be like to be the optimal, the ideal, the magnificent, the maximizing parent that maximizes themselves, maximizes a spouse, and maximizes all future generations. Now, that is a different kind of thought form.
It's a deliberate thought form. You're, again, and not to overpress that, because this we didn't jump on here just to push books, but generally to have some conversation, these tools that can help a family member break up where they're stuck. Ask. The idea of going through that, reading it, going through the questions, and that, I think it is a deliberate act in trying to solve some of those problems, communication problems, understanding problems, perspective problems, those things. You mind, I am going to throw this in. I know you didn't bring it to us and we threw it off of that, but we are going to put a plug in. I'd really like to share just with the audience a quick about 1.5-2 minute video here on your book, Ask.
Thank you.
Everyone is born with a destiny. You have one too. It's up to you to discover it. And you can do that. How? Ask, ask, ask. Discovering your destiny gives you the power to change the world. Building today, transforming the future, making the impact. It's time you awaken your deep dreams. Dreams that often remain unfulfilled. Stop being overwhelmed. Don't let your fears keep you from unraveling the secret of conquering the world. You're here for a reason. Get ready for life's magical, mystical journey by stepping on the shining, sparkling bridge that will lead you to your destiny. This bridge took the greatest achievers of all time to the answer of the unsolved mystery. They learned how to ask, what to ask, and changed everything. And once they learned to cross the bridge, they never stopped. Ask, ask, ask. So how do you go from downtrodden to triumphant, from rags to riches? How do you start over to begin again? Order Ask, the bridge from your dreams to your destiny, on Amazon.com today, and start crossing the bridge from your dreams to your destiny, the best guide ever to asking. Get yours today and start moving toward your destiny. Written by best-selling author of Chicken Soup for the Soul, Mark Victor Hansen and Crystal Dwyer Hansen.
Imagination, curiosity, ask. So you are askthebookclub.com, is that right?
Saying, look, out of the Bible, it says ask, seek, and knock. And then if you ask, you'll get what you want. So my wife made it into an acronym, get every treasure, because all the treasures are there. The sky vault is open, but you've got to ask. God gave us his ability to ask, but most of us have, I've never said this, Rita Davenport here in Arizona says, get your asking gear. But most people, you know, because I said earlier, we had our curiosity squished. I think, I've never said this before, and you're opening up spaces for me, Tony, and I'm very thankful for that. You and Christine, I think we've had our askers squished. How's that grab you? Because you're told to quit asking wherever, whether it was a school or your spouse or your kid or whatever, all of us, right? And, you know, you ask for too much. You ask for money. You ask for car. You ask for new toothpaste. Whatever it is that you ask for. You ask for a blanket all the time every night when it's cold, or you ask for more air conditioning because it's too hot, right? Well, you should ask, because that's the miracle power that God gave each and every one of us. And that's the first time I've seen that video since we made it a while back. And I love it. Thank you for being generous enough to sharing that. That was very thoughtful of you all.
Oh, we're happy to be able to, again, actionable solutions. You've got a great gift. You and Crystal clearly have put an amazing amount of time. The woman right after my own heart from the acronyms. It's an army thing for me. I don't know what it is. You need to get me to do something. You throw in an acronym. All of a sudden, I'm like, okay, I got that. I'll tell her. I think that's brilliant. I think that those are great. The ability to ask when you're emotionally under duress, when things are difficult. You shared a bit of a parent project for you. I'm aware of yours. Can you share a bit of the duress that felt with, and how you moved through your parent project when emotion sets in, when it's a family member, and you're just trying to deal with the problem that's at hand as best you can in the context you understand. Would you open up for our viewers and share a bit of that and how you get moving?
Tony was kind enough to ask this before we came on the show, so I didn't get caught blind, and it did surprise me because I've not been asked a lot of the questions he's asking, so I'm very thankful, because I don't want routine, dull questions. I want new questions that open up my own mental space. But my mother, God bless her, was a great woman. She loved my four brothers and I and dad. There was never any question of trust or faith or any of that stuff, loyalty. But they came through the Depression, so they had a really tough go. But suddenly, she has me when she's 42 years young. And back then, you know, you start to have what's called change of life or menopause. There's no such thing in my experience up to that time as an endocrinologist, hormone replacement, bioidenticals, any of the stuff that today, stem cells, all the stuff, herbs and vitamins, stuff that I take, you know, 178 vitamins and pills a day. So I'm pretty, you know, and I'm really into it. But most people are not and don't know that they can keep, and men have menopause. As a matter of fact, there's a big show that I'm on helping those guys. But my mother's going through that, and to quaff the pain, my position is that she drank too much. And my dad couldn't handle it. My dad comes to me and says, son, what are you going to do? And I'm now 26 or 28, and I'm a millionaire already, and I'm rich. But I go, aye, aye, aye. So I call around, you know, back in Waukegan. I was living in New York. Right next to Great Lakes, right. My dad made the pastry for Great Lakes. I said, Dad, I'll handle it. He said, do you want to tell me or not? I said, no, I better not tell you. So I found a place to get her to dry out. And she was exceedingly profane, because I was taking away what was her anesthetization, which is alcohol. I mean, alcohol has some place, but it's not a resting place. It's not a final place. It's not a ultimate place, unless you're, you know, drinking yourself death like a terrible thing, because you get a five-finger liver, all that. Anyhow, she got dried out and was well again, but and some doctors there probably helped her as much as they knew, but they didn't know enough, because what we said earlier is back in the time of Christ, the average age was 20 to 22 before they died. And so Christ at 30 to 33 was relatively an older guy, never shown with white hair, and good for that. And Moses would have been super old. He led three lives of 40, as we talked about before the show began. Back then, there was no bioidenticals. If you ate really good food, maybe you could take care of yourself. If you worked really hard, maybe you'd be healthy. But today we know a lot more. And the goal of good parenting is to take good care of yourself, and then take good care of parents, and get the parents to take care of themselves and the grandparents, and make sure we all exercise right, that we eat live, fresh foods. that we take our nutraceuticals, that we go to our regular medical checkups, that you get glasses and hearing aids, all the stuff that there was no hearing aids when I was a kid. You'd always see everyone, like my teacher, Bucky Fuller, would always be going like this. And he was an admiral in the Navy, as you know, so World War I, of course. But the point is that this stuff didn't exist. Now it exists. We need to use the things that exist and make us infinitely better off.
The whether it be an outside tool of a rehab group in that immediate problem that sat against those things, being able to stand back. Can you remember the first time you came to understanding of having to deal with a problem like that with your parents? Are you with your mom and your dad reaching out for you and asking for some level of help by any chance?
Yeah, it wasn't mom that wanted the help. Dad just didn't want her to drink herself to death. He loved her. And you know, yeah. He had a very limited education. I'm not besmirching him, but it just wasn't. When he came out of Denmark, he had no English skills. He had no skills. He had no education. And you know, so he came here and he was hoping that his sons would get a better education and pay for it themselves because he just didn't have it. And so he thought, well, Marky is here. That's what he would call me. Can you figure this out and solve it for us? Because he didn't know there were dry out centers. I mean, it did, you know, detox centers. He didn't know that stuff existed. And I didn't really either. But, you know, suddenly you got a problem. You're supposed to face it. And if you have a problem, now I'm going to go way abstract here for a second, but you got to say the problem is good. I mean, if you read Joseph of the Many-Colored Coat, what you meant for my harm, God meant for my good. And not only for my temporary good, but for my long-term good, because you say, well, why would you share a story about your mother's alcoholism? Well, look, 18 million Americans are alcoholics. This isn't even a maybe in my mind. And we can go GA, we can go SA, we can go AA. There are a lot of A's, right? And Brothers of Bill and all that stuff, because I talk at all the giant mega churches and they've all got that. And I talk to all of them and because every one of them that is in that at some level lacked one thing, which is hope, which is what the good spell, the God spell is all about. The Catholic Church and everybody is trying to cast out the Jesus, the God spell, to give that person hope. And most churches have really good, what are called 12-step programs that are really wonderful now.
Yeah.
Answered your question?
not at all. Look, that brought it, brother, that brings it to reality. And that is, you didn't have to solve or boil the whole ocean of everything when the problems got on. You were able to focus at one. You were able to explore what solutions might be to it. But you augmented and you helped your parents solve that. But you came through your dad when your dad had asked for that. And you became a resource and a tool, which is an important way to win favor. You're clearly somebody I know from our conversations who genuinely checks in with that person. I try to practice presence in my life, and you're somebody who does really, really well at it. And I enjoy that about you and spending time around you. So those are things that we can begin to build maybe the rapport. So maybe your parent, your dad or your mom is not going to sit down and start reading Ask with you to answer 178 questions. But maybe if you start through that, you begin with the first 5 or 10 questions and you ask them the questions, not waiting for what you're going to say next, but to try to understand why they're saying what they're saying and to follow up questions against those until that sets in enough curiosity that leads you to say, hey, this is where I got it out of here. And we start off of this and you start developing that relationship. Not all of us have time for that. A lot of people at Parent Projects, they don't have time for that. They are literally in the fight of their life at this moment. But if you do have a parent project that's down the road and 100% of us are going to die, that's just a given thing. We are blessed if we have children or friends or family that will be here to help us do that. Spending that time into using a tool like that, I think makes it really real. So,
Mark, so let me answer that. Talk to that 2 ways. We've had so many people tell us, man, I read that first story because I will only do books that are unique, transformational, and inevitable, right? Meaning that they're going to be long-tailed and last forever. So transformational. So many people tell us, man, I read that first story because we start with the fable of Michaela. We start with the fable. No book, we don't have an American fabulist. Remember, I'm Danish. The top fabulist of the world is Hans Christian Andersen. You know every one of his 147 fables. You know The Ugly Duckling. You know, then I can't name one that Disney hasn't made a movie out of, because Walt and Mike, I wrote a book with Art Linkletter, went to Disney, to his home together, and brought all those books back and made them into movies, and God bless that. But the point is, I have so many people tell us, oh my God, I read that Fable of Michaela, and I went and I shook my wife awake and said, you got to read this. It'll take you 15 minutes. Let me read it to you, honey. Or wake up their 15-year-old kid. And then the other side of it is that we've done so many wonderful podcasts, one with a giant named Ed Milet, who's got muscles on muscles, a superstar at a lot of levels. But yeah. Ed Milet said, man, you sent me the book, and I couldn't find the book. So I went to my little 17-year-old daughter, and I said, you know, this book was sent to me and it was signed by Mark and Crystal. Do you know where that book is? Dad, I read it. I couldn't stop reading it. I didn't know you were going to do a show with them today. So while everybody is time compressed, I'm not quite, me too, you too, my wife yeah. too. The point is, when you start reading a story, we do everything we know in our heart and soul to write irresistibly compelling reading stories. So you go, I need to know what happens. I need to know how I can make my life better, because we believe every one of us was coded at destiny at birth with a great destiny. And it's not, I got a job. No, that's nice. That's what you did. But that isn't who you are and what you're supposed to become. You're a human becoming.
The ability to feed your family, to tie back that in. To feed your family with presence, with curiosity, with small actionable things, with the time and attention just to understand where they're at, why they're there, is, I think, going to be critical. Mark Victor, I think you're going to help a lot of people today that have been stuck. Give me the opportunity, and thanks be to God for this platform for you and I.
My pleasure. I love doing this.
Well, that's it for the team this week, and thanks for joining us. If you've enjoyed the content, remember to subscribe and to share this episode on the app that you're using right now. Your reviews and your comments, they really help us expand our reach as well as our perspective. So if you have time, also drop us a note. Let us know how we're doing. For tips and tools to clarify your parent project, simplify communication with your stakeholders, and verify the professionals that you choose, you can find us on YouTube, follow us on Instagram and Facebook. Thanks again for trusting us. Until our next episode, behold and be held.
Thank you for listening to this Parent Projects podcast production. To access our show notes, resources, or forums, join us on your favorite social media platform or go to parentprojects.com. This show is for entertainment purposes only. Before making any decisions, consult a professional. This show is copyrighted by Family Media and Technology Group Incorporated and Parent Projects LLC. Written permissions must be granted before syndication or rebroadcast.